I learned a bit about the Epistle of James because, to be honest, I didn't really know a lot and I don't really like it. It was written, this was something I found out, it was written before the first gospel, around AD 45, also before the first council, first church council in AD 50. James, very strongly believed to be the half-brother of Jesus, who only followed him after his crucifixion and resurrection. James was a pillar and a leader of the early church, and along with Peter and Paul, were the ones who agreed to take the gospel to the Gentiles. James was martyred 12 years later in AD 62. That was according to the historian Josephus. So his letter, or what they consider James's book or letter, is probably the first one that was written before Paul's letters. Now that we see it was a forerunner to the gospel, we can probably look at it a little differently, because it was written primarily to Jewish Christians, and they were in the first church. And it gives us a glimpse of the struggles the original Christian church had to endure. We see in the book of James a challenge to faithful followers of Jesus Christ to not just talk the talk, but to walk the walk. A feel not unlike John the Baptist, in that it's black or white. You a follower, or aren't you? The Epistle of James feels like a hard truth letter. It can be confronting, and it can be comforting for those who genuinely seek the right way in all humility. For many of us, it can feel like a critique or a harsh criticism, that if we think we're doing the right thing, but then have to ask ourselves, Wes, is this the will of God, or is this the will of Wes? In the reading today, James seems to be letting the congregation have it, admonishing their evil motives and their quarrelling. He says, "Where do all the fights and quarrels among you come from? They come from your desires for pleasure, which are constantly fighting within you. You want things, but you can't have them, and so you're ready to kill. You strongly desire things, but you can't get them, so you quarrel and fight. You do not have what you want because you do not ask God for it. And then the wisdom from above is pure, first of all. It is also peaceful, gentle and friendly, full of compassion, and provides a harvest of good deeds. It is free from prejudice and hypocrisy." So, bad cop, good cop. The verses that really caught my attention were verse 7 and half of verse 8. And I lift them out of context because they serve us better that way. James knew the people he was writing to at the time, but he doesn't know us and he doesn't know our situation. And I'll add it for comparison. Verse 7. "So then, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will run away from you. Come near to God, and he will come near to you." That's for us. This is what James adds. "Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you hypocrites." So that's why it was really helpful to separate that out. This is what we take from it. Unless, of course, you are a sinner and hypocrite. I say that lightly. So you have to be careful reading this letter, because you might feel that James is yelling at us. And Martin Luther, who didn't like it at all, called it an epistle of straw. I didn't like it before, but now I have more of a handle on it. I can take it a little better, now that I know why he was saying what he was saying and to who. It's still scary, because it doesn't feel like James gives the average follower much wriggle room. As for the gospel reading, the ancient world had little or no middle class. Australia still has a decent-sized middle class, which is something we should value as a society. Back then, though, Most of the wealth was accumulated at the top of the social structure. The bulk of people found themselves poor. And according to a gentleman named Ramsay MacMullan, who wrote The Epigraphic Habit of the Roman Empire, don't recommend reading it, within the elite world, honour was incredibly important. The upper classes emphasised for everyone to notice and acknowledge the steep social structure that they were on top of. The rich wanted to associate only with other rich. They would intentionally insult and demean those who were slightly less rich and hope to accumulate favour with those who were above them. It's against this backdrop the words of Jesus in Mark's Gospel stand out, saying that the way to gain honour in the new kingdom is to receive those who are without honour. So it goes totally against the logic of the ancient society, and it even seems to go against the flow for us now. The kingdom of God places value differently than the human realm. God will receive those who receive the child, or the widow, or the disabled, or the poor, and so on. And the good news is that Jesus even welcomes us when we do not understand or do not know. The reading closes with Jesus embracing a child who is the ultimate symbol of not knowing, not understanding, immature and undeveloped, and of course, no status. We see Jesus turning our way of thinking on its head as he changes our ideas about the path to greatness. The way to greatness is the way of service. To be great, we must be the greatest servants we can be. And a call to be a servant is a call to humility. But it's not a call to be passive or to retreat or to be a doormat. In Philippians 2, Jesus is our example. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. To be a servant, then, means to go towards those in need and to seek out the forgotten. Jesus didn't serve out of fear or guilt, but served out of joy. Not out of cowardice or being coerced, but out of courage and out of desire. James speaks of fights and quarrels in the early church. Well, for us there's still a few disagreements and tensions from time to time. We're a loving bunch. We tend to get on with it. But we just have to remember James' instruction. Whenever we come across difficult times, frustrating times, times of disagreement, submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil and he will run away from you. Come near to God and he will come near to you.